Harihi Om
Sahana Vavatu Sahana Bhunatu Sahaviryan Karavavahai Tejasvinavadhitamastamavidevishavahai Om Shanti 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 Om Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shivasari Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare.
Okay, page 86. Srimad Bhagavatam 11.340. When one seriously engages in the devotional service of the Personality of Godhead, fixing the Lord's lotus feet within one's heart as the only goal of life, one can destroy the innumerable impure desires lodged within the heart as a result of one's previous fruit of work within the three modes of material nature. When the heart is thus purified, one can directly perceive both the Supreme Lord and oneself as transcendental entities. Thus one becomes perfect in spiritual understanding through direct experience, just as one can directly experience the sunshine through normal, healthy vision. 52. In his commentary on this verse, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur gives the concise essence of Bhagavad Gita by clarifying the relationship between jnana and bhakti. If one has a realization of the changeless natures of Atma during deep sleep, how then does samsara continue on waking up? If you say that there are still impressions of ignorance, then when will one get realization of the pure Atma? The first realization of the pure Atma takes place by perfection of bhakti misra jnana. Brahma bhuta prasan atma na sochati na kankshati sama sarveshu bhuteshu vad bhaktim lavate param. Bhaktyamam abhijanati yavan yas chasmi tatvataha tatomam tatvato gyatva vishate tad anantaram. Having attained the state of Brahman, being a pure soul, he does not lament in loss of what he had or does not, in the loss of what he had, nor does he desire what he does not have, and looks upon all things as equal. He then manifests prema bhakti. Only in bhakti can a person know me.
Why is this called bhakti misra jnana?
The emphasis.
But we usually say that if it's bhakti misra jnana, it means it's only little bhakti and lots of jnana. And usually we say it jnana misra bhakti, which is bhakti mixed with a little jnana.
The point is, as he comes to this Brahman state, that you'll come, because bhakti has to be there for it to work. So that aspect then is there. So it says, only by bhakti can a person know me. So then it's just, I think they're putting out the point of the realization of Atma. Then from there it'll continue on. Like that, because if one continues with devotion, then it will continue on. It's just a matter of proportion.
Okay. Can we say that if he continues that person on that level, who continues further, then it will become jnana misra bhakti?
Yes, or it'll just turn into pure devotion. Because once one's on the transcendental platform, generally then there's no conditioning to have to work with. Mm-hmm. It's very minimal. So being that it's so minimal, then the appreciation of the transcendental nature of the Lord, that becomes prominent. And so then they'll move very, very fast. Right? But if they're getting there without so much bhakti, then it'll be slower. But if they put more bhakti, then it'll work. So I would think in this case, then you're showing that they're following the path of jnana, and that the you're following the path of jnana, but that devotional element is there. So the jnana is a more prominent aspect. Does that make sense? You know, someone, the focus on the studies, the scholarship, those aspects, the renunciation. So they're, as a religion, they're practicing, you know, knowledge and renunciation. So then, but they're doing that in connection with devotional service. But even without devotional service, just means you add devotional service to that, you can come to this platform. The only problem is that it won't last, because once they get to the platform, the bhakti will leave. But in this case, he's saying this goes on, so that must mean that there's some practice beyond that. Right? But the focus is, the identity is more as a renunciate or more as a scholar or like this. Yeah. Okay. Yes. Okay, yes, go ahead.
Brahma Bhuta is a state of existence.
So Brahma Bhuta is a stage of existence in a particular state of consciousness.
So yesterday when we discussed, you know, about the levels of consciousness, such as in Jagrati, Supna, and Sushupti, and then finally Surya, last was Brahma.
Yes.
So can we say that when a person, a devotee, comes to the Brahma Bhuta platform, he is in a
Turiya
state of consciousness?
Yes, he would be in Turiya. Yeah. Okay.
And then when the impersonalist, they merge into the impersonal Brahman, so they realize that even they are pure consciousness, they are Brahman. So even their state is also
You can say it's Turiya, but it's not actually really actually understanding. See, as if you get technical, because they have a mundane concept of the Lord, they don't actually know the Lord. So getting to that position of Vasudev Sattva, in one sense, is actually not that special. It's special for them because that's their goal. You know what I'm saying? But in actuality, it's not that special. Right? Because they've come to a position where they still think I'm the controller and enjoyer. They don't actually understand the Lord's position. But they know he's the controller in these kind of aspects. But on here, means anybody can be in that state. Right? All living entities are in that state when they go back into Mahavishnu. Right? Then when they come out of Mahavishnu, they're in that state before Brahma's creation. So that's why I was saying it's not necessarily that special of a position. We make it that it's special, but it's actually not that special. Does that make sense? So that's why then the confusion. So mukti just means that one is on that platform of liberation where there is the, due to practice of proper knowledge with devotion, then one understands that he is not the... That'd be another approach. That if we're talking about, if we're looking at mukti from a wider range, that mukti being the result of jnana, right? Means facilities are, and situations are the results of karma. Right? And so then liberation is a situation of jnana. So then if it's connected with service to the Lord, then that liberation would be this position of Brahma Bhuta, and it would continue on to devotion. Right? Because there, but it's a matter of I'm not in the material world, right? I don't have the material body. I'm not suffering due to lack of facilities or lack of association, you know, goodness like that. So what do I have? I'm on the same planet as the Lord, associate, same form, same facilities, you understand? So it's a position of, how you say, having realized this knowledge. And having realized that, that brings them to that transcendental position. But for the impersonalist, then naturally they don't continue forward, because they're only interested in the mukti aspect of this, not the Brahma-Bhuta aspect. Because Brahma-Bhuta means that we're... See, the mukti, basically, we're saying you're on the position of tatastha, but it's actually has a negative leaning, because there's still the concept, I'm the controller and enjoyer. So we haven't actually accepted the Lord as a position of a relationship, right? And one can say is, no, but there's some understanding of Brahman, there's this and that, but what's the relationship? Because relationship means then there must be ashray and vishay, right? Because then there's an interaction there. So according to the impersonalists, then they don't exist, so there's no ashray, and Brahman has no qualities, so there's nothing there that you could, you know, direct it at, because there's nothingness. You understand? So there's no relationship. You know, people talk about qualities, Brahmananda or this, or, but what's the relationship? There isn't any. You know what I'm saying? That's why we say is that these atheistic concepts of, you know, social perfection. You know, everybody's nice, everybody's good. Like this, it's not rasa, because where's the ashray, where's the vishay? We say, okay, you know, all the people, but what is the position there? I mean, how is there a dynamic interaction with all the people? So it's just a concept, a quality of all the people. So we're just, the quality we're thinking of is inclusiveness. It's not actually personal. Right? And then ourselves is we're just an appreciator or a supporter of that inclusiveness. So there's no actual dynamic interaction or relationship. You know what I'm saying? It sounds fabulous, like, oh, everybody's so, you know, also the touchy-feely, all kind of everything's so nice and wonderful. But in actuality, you see, there's not, because there's no rasa. Because it's not based on duties. It's just based on a particular mentality that could change at any moment. Does that make sense? Let's say... Okay. Okay, let's say somebody's trying to fit in. So he's doing all the externals of what would fit into that situation. But that's not him at all. Right? Now, in our, from that position of, you know, accommodating everybody and this and that, we could look at it, but he's trying so hard, he wants to, we should be, you know, inclusive. Or we could look at it, well, he's lying to us, he's cheating, he's not actually that, so he doesn't belong as part of. Does that make sense? That's the problem with these things, is it's not based on duties. So, since it is just an appreciation that's a mental state, its actual position on acceptance or rejection is also still on that same subtle state. It doesn't have a specifics that it has to follow. Does that make sense? So, therefore, tradition gets in the way of that. Because that means there's a form, there's a duty that has to be followed. And so then my appreciation of something or not is restricted, because then I can't just mental speculate however I like. There's a way I have to deal. Right? Does that make sense? There's a mentality I should have to match that. Does that make sense? So that's why this modern kind of thinking is always anti-tradition. Like that. Anything that once it becomes established, then it's anti that. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? So as long as it's not the established position, then you're against it. Once it becomes so broad, it is established, and people go against that. You know what I'm saying? So the whole point is that I'm better because I can find fault in everything else. Okay. So now, so the gaining this liberation, so that negative inclination is there in mukti. But in Brahmabhuta, that position, then that's positive, because then you've added in the element of actual concept of devotion to the Lord, or actually wanting to develop further in that direction. So therefore, those with that position of mukti who are devotees, then they'll continue forward up to, as he says here, prema. Right? Where did it say that? Where was it?
He then manifests prema.
Yeah, then he manifests prema. Right? So it'll come to there. So therefore, all those with liberation, so we see is what's happening here is that that position of desiring liberation, that's all taken as one group, because it's all based on jnana. So in this case, then you could say this bhakti mr. jnana. Does that make sense? Because jnana is the principle that's being used. That's the religious process that's being used. Is that... Yes.
So on the path of bhakti, it seems that for many it's satisfying to be in a general relationship as a general devotee. But then we see, if we parallel, you know, Brahmabhuta with you know, Shraddha to Prema, then it's on bhav level, then we have to get, you know, into specifics, apparently.
Mm-hmm.
Because then to prema, you can't go general. It's
specific.
Specific.
Yeah.
So that.
Yes, that point is, in other words, before that, you can work on these other platforms as of realization as a prominence. But at bhava, then it has to be about the relationship with the Lord, because then it's, I am the servant of the Lord in this specific way. And so therefore then you're the ashray of that particular attachment, or, you know, and Krishna in that particular form is the Vishaya. Mm-hmm. Right? And so then there's specific qualities. So it's the qualities now, instead of the qualities being the prominence, it's actually that interaction with the Lord, and those qualities become a medium, right? Because we're talking about on this material platform, it's the qualities are the goal. You know, we're talking about being detached, being knowledgeable, being humble, being like this. We're taking them as a goal. But actually, they're just the attitude in which devotional service is performed. So, therefore, on the platform of bhava, like you're saying, is that it has to be done. They're non-different. So, in bhava bhakti, then the knowledge, that pure knowledge is there. So pure knowledge of the soul, of the Lord and all that, it doesn't have any you know, impure mixes. And that detachment, that they have no interest in the material world, that's inherent in bhava. If those qualities aren't there, it's not bhava.
Yeah.
And if it's bhava, it has those qualities. And the interesting thing is that this form of renunciation of the material world where there's no interest is actually yukta. So that combination is yukta vairagya. Because they have pure knowledge about the Lord, so they see everything connected to the Lord. And they're not interested in dealing in a way that's not connected to the Lord. So they see everything in connection with the Lord. That's yukta vairagya. Not whatever I like, I just take and connect to the Lord. That's lower stages, but that's not advanced. That's not the platform of bhava. So when we say yukta vairagya, we're not talking that's just a practical tool to get things done, you know, without getting too caught up in philosophy. It's actually the natural platform of of performance, you know, a vision performance of the Baba Bhaktas. Right? That's just their natural position. So if we see that those qualities are lacking and there's some symptoms of bhava, then that means it's not on the platform of bhava. It'll be, shadow of bhava. It'll be the reflection of bhava. It'll be material bhava. You know, these kind of things. And so that will come by, we're in the association of devotees, something, you know, the festival or the kirtan or something, the mood is really nice, so kind of just picking up on that mood from the devotees, we're manifesting, we're feeling that happiness. So that it's real, but we're gaining it because of the shadow. Others are having, or it's there, but we ourselves don't have it inherently. Does that make sense? Because the situation's over, then we don't see it. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
You know, the kirtan's over, then, you know, back to, you know, day-to-day life, right? You know, we've made that advancement, that's there. That samskara is there, but at the same time as we go back, while someone on the platform of bhava, no matter what the situation is, they'll always be in that position. Does that make sense? So that would be that positive aspect. So it's always moving forward. Well, the negative is that one has this understanding of the Lord and the soul and all these things only up to the point of the liberation. Then it's about the experience of the liberation. Because there is no ashray and vishay. Right? So that's the problem, is here you have a living entity that has a form, but he thinks he doesn't have a form and that the Lord's formless. So therefore then the Lord arranges that Mahakalapura where there's just bright light, it's just pure light. And so all the living entities are in that, and because so everything's so white, everybody then thinks that they've merged, there's nothingness. Even though, you know, it's like a white room, everybody's wearing white and you have, you know, 10,000 watts of light in there, you know. And so everybody just thinks they've merged. But they're all individuals there. Because there's no rasa, because they don't. So when we say ananda, that means rasa. So they talk about ananda, but how can there be ananda since there is no ashray and vishay? Like that. So all it is it's the removing the pain of the material world, that happiness is what they're getting. But they're not actually getting ananda. Right? So when the devotee is on that platform of Brahmananda, it's because he's absorbed in Brahman as a person. He's a person, and so therefore he's experiencing that. So the your Shanta Bhaktas would be on that platform of Brahmananda. Right? So it's positive. It's actual, real. Does that make some sense? Yeah? Okay. Yeah, so then these kind of things here. I mean, the other side that, you know, will not be emphasized, but we might consider, is we always use, means there's, you could say, oh, who's speaking here? This is Vishwanath.
Yeah.
Okay. Let us say it's the same situation. Okay. Okay, let's try like this. Let us say you have a child. They're trying to do something, but it's not very good. Like they're writing letters. Okay? First writing letters and all that. What are we going to say about the writing of those letters? It's great. It's fabulous. Okay? Now, what if an adult wrote like that? Right? You understand? So, it's a matter of the mentality, the position. So, if we're taking it from encouragement, that anything, you know, positive is a good thing, keep moving in that direction, like generally you see Baladev will use, then we'd say, Jnana Misra Bhakti. But Vishwanath generally points it out so that we're clear exactly where we stand, so that we know how to, you know, that we'll progress forward and not become complacent. So then he might call it Bhakti Misra Jnana. Does that make sense? Is that like that? Because we see is that the karma yoga means our karma, Misra Bhakti, is looked at in a positive and a negative light, both. It can be positive in that now we're taking our activities, we're connecting to the Lord, that's positive, keep going in that way, it'll turn into pure bhakti. Negative is, we're looking at it that in your performance of bhakti, you're still maintaining an attachment for karma. Does that make sense? So it's just a matter, are we emphasizing the devotional element, or we're pointing out the weakness that's there in the performance of our devotion? So that way, in the same way as this bhakti misra jnana, can be looked at in both ways. Does that make sense? Yeah.
Well, as once you said that Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says, devotee means only pure devotee.
Yes, basically is, if we're looking at it, devotee technically means prema. Then you can say you're a devotee. Because before prema, we're actually a practicing devotee. You know, we're trying to become a devotee, an aspiring devotee. That, you know, on three stages of neophyte, madhyama, and uttama.
So that is why Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, below whatever it is there.
Yes, because then it makes it very clear, because then between these two perspectives, then you kind of get the position. Otherwise, then you'll hear sometimes devotees won't want to move forward because it's good enough. You know, what's the big thing? Why be fanatic? You know, we're just being practical. So then in that case, yes, nice, you're doing like that, but because they're not emphasizing the bhakti, then at that point, even though they're performing the devotional service, it may not be, you know, ideal position, but it's not like someone who's seeing it from a more fresh vision. Right? From a more fresh vision, even though, let's say, the person who's first come in contact with the devotees, right? He's come to one program, he's met the devotees, he's talked, he liked what he heard, he liked what they're doing. Now, in his day, how much of it is actually going to be Krishna conscious and thing and like that? His activities and all that? Practically nothing. But he's so inspired by this that you'll say that devotional element is the prominence in his mind. Yeah. Right? So that will bring him to the point of shraddha, or faith. But in comparison, how much faith does that person have compared to a madhyama or uttama? Right? Hardly anything. But it's called faith because that's what's prominent in the mind. Right? So therefore, then we will encourage that faith, that association, that understanding. And yes, you continue like that, even though the rest of their day is nonsense. But for them, they're just doing their nonsense as automatic pilot and thinking about devotees and, you know, next weekend I'll go to the program. You understand? Like that. So they're not taking it that their lifestyle is important. They're taking it that devotional service is important. So we'd look at it that way. Now, let's say if the person's been around a while, they get complacent, they just do their stuff, but their focus is on their basically daily life. And then mechanically they do their devotional service. So then we'll look at that as a negative mix. Right? So in other words, which is mechanical? Is our material life mechanical and the devotional service is dynamic, or the material life is dynamic and the devotional service is mechanical? Whichever it is, that's where we're going to say, we're either going to say encourage that or say it's a weakness. Does that make sense? You had something?
You have knowledge, experience, and relationship. And most of the time, we'll approach a situation based on one of these three things or a combination of these three. So we see here in the conversation or the discussion we're having, a lot of the time our default mechanism will be on the experience, and then the other two will come. Based on that, we'll look for a specific experience.
Yes.
So we'll generate a specific type of knowledge, or we'll look.
Because that's your goal. The experience is the goal.
So how does that experience? How are you making sure that experience is progressive as opposed to regressive? Because we'll see here, as the mixes go, mixes upon mixes may bring you the other way, as opposed to actually.
The point is Krishna the prominent aspect? If it's just our experience only, but it's connected to Krishna, then that's positive, rather than our experience without Krishna. But what we're trying to get to is, what is Krishna's experience in this? Right? What will Krishna gain from this? So what Krishna will gain from it, that being the predominance, or that being the exclusiveness, then that is what pure devotion is. Right? So it's always about Krishna, right? In a positive way. For Krishna, that is pure devotion. Now, whether your own experience is an important aspect of that or not. So we see not, that's Braj. And your own experience as a part of that, that's Vaikuntha. Does that make sense? But it's always in connection to the Lord, so it's therefore considered pure. So they themselves, as servants of the Lord, that, but they're appreciating the experience they're gaining. Like that. So, but it's always about the Lord. It'll never not be about the Lord. So it's perfect. Right? But then there's that element of more perfect, right? Where you add in that the personal, not the personal, the human personality of the Lord, as opposed to the God personality, right? But then most perfect is where it's just about Him as a person, and the Him being God is not at all the consideration. It's not that you have a problem with Him being God, you know, it's a matter of, that doesn't matter to the relationship. Does that make sense?
Hmm.
Yeah.
So then our tendency to throw out the forms, or make an adjustment on the form because of quote-unquote preaching, or because we want to approach a specific group, is that primarily based on our experience, or is it?
It'll be our experience, because we're worried about our experience in it. We're saying it's about the preaching, and that we're connecting it to preaching, that's a good thing. But we're also worried about our specific experience in that environment. So that then will tinge the thing, because preaching means you're delivering a particular understanding of pure knowledge, of consciousness. So that's beyond the specific practices. So if we're only seeing Krishna consciousness as a set of practices, then, you know, if you're not chanting 16 rounds, you're in Maya or something. So therefore, when I preach to somebody, unless they start chanting 16 rounds, then what's the point? You know, that kind of thing. Or unless they're a vegetarian, then, you know, like this kind of thing. So the difficulty comes as we're seeing it as the secondary is what's important, rather than the primary of understanding they're the soul, the Lord, your relationship with the Lord. So actually we start off with the higher level of understanding. That then can be understood by the soul because of their inherent nature of pure knowledge. Right? Having gained that, then naturally you want to apply it, because knowledge should be applied to get result and experience. So now is where you start introducing for their situation the practices of Krishna consciousness. But the first thing is to have that a proper understanding. Does that make sense? If we're discussing like that, we're talking about the preaching. The other aspect is you just engage them in Krishna conscious activities that, you know, they're cool with, like eating, you know, or kirtan. You know, devotees are so worried about kirtan, but every yoga studio does kirtan, you know. And many times Hare Krishna kirtan. Right? So there's not a problem with, so things that they're comfortable with, those things you can introduce immediately. But more than that, then it's a matter of the consciousness. So it's not that we won't introduce them, but because they will come naturally as their consciousness develops. Right? Does that make sense? So to say that no, there won't be any practice means there's only the primary, but the point is you, how do you manifest the primary without the expression of it through the secondary? So it naturally would develop. And if we just put it on the secondary, oh, we can't do these things because they can't relate to them because their secondary is different, then where's the connection to the primary? So how actually is it preaching? Right? So you can say, yes, we're not trying to make them into Hindus. You know, so those who preach basically, you know, on that platform, unless you're following the Vedic religion, then it's not that. And then the others are, no, but we don't want to preach the Vedic religion. We just want them to, you know, practice from their position. But in both of them, it's Niyamagraha, because they're missing the point of the primary aspect. Right? So just as one can point out faults in someone who's just following the rules and doesn't know why, you can point out the same faults in those who don't know why and don't follow the rules. But at least, out of two negatives, one has two negatives, one has one negative. Yeah, does that make sense? So you can say as those who follow but don't know why is better than those who don't follow and don't know why. Does that make sense? Because those who follow, if you show them how, why, now they're following properly. But the person who doesn't follow and doesn't like to follow, even you show him properly, he'll have a problem following because there's no practice. Does that make sense? You know, so it's like someone's driving a car, but they're just crazy out on the road. But they can drive. Right? Does that make sense? So now you show them what's the actual purpose of driving. They can already drive and they'll drive nicely. While the other person, they actually have to learn how to drive. Right? And because they drive crazy, therefore not driving is not crazy. Therefore the concept of driving actually is foreign to them and they don't really like the concept because it goes against their mundane concept of what is not crazy. Does that make sense? So that's why many times the jnanis are harder to deal with than the karmis. Because even if it means in theory they have more understanding of knowledge, but in one sense they've applied their, that's where their attachment lies, so they want knowledge to go in a particular way. They're not actually open so much to it. Right? Does that make sense? So then when it comes to practice, they don't have practices. You know what I'm saying? It's just like, okay, what is the standard lifestyle of a very, you know, focused, high-level university professor?
Mess everywhere.
Yeah, so there is no lifestyle. Somehow or another, they're keeping body and soul together, but, you know, many times that's just by, it's only because there's a cafeteria at the university. Otherwise, there's a good chance they die. You know, because you know these other things. So going there, gunning the line, you know, that's just doesn't work for them. You know what I'm saying? So they don't have a lifestyle. So therefore, to introduce this lifestyle is very difficult for them. Right? Now the karmi, then they're just doing it because that's what is going on. But if you show what, should, then they can switch. Now, of course, if someone is committed to a particular karmic lifestyle, then, you know, a sinful lifestyle, then taking up a pious, then may be a difficulty, of course. Right? You know what I'm saying? So that's the point, is that you introduce where the individual, so it's very individual. But the broad statement you can make is everybody can understand properly the philosophy. Then applying it, then there's recommendations. Why there's recommendations? Because the living entity belongs to Krishna. So the nature of the living entity is Krishna's nature. It's not we make up the nature. Oh, we're a living entity, so we make up our own nature. Does that make sense? No, it's made up for you. Does that make sense? It's just like, okay, let us say, someone's from America. They go shift themselves to Europe. Okay? Now, how well will it go for them if they do everything just in the way they would do it in America? All the social dealings, all the everything, all the value system, all the language, everything. Won't go so good. Still have to adjust. Right? Same way, you take the person from Europe, put them in America, and they do everything in that way, it'll be a problem. Right? So we're saying, no, this is us, we're free, we're... No, it's the place. It's the place. You know what I'm saying? New Mexico, half of Texas, and, you know, most of Arizona is dust with cactuses. Right? But the and part of Southern California,
Nevada.
Right?
Huh? Nevada.
Nevada, you know, Baja California, you know, it's all this. But it doesn't have the flavor of Mexico. You understand? Or, and vice versa. So that's the whole thing. We say it's no, we're independent. It's the place. It's the modes of nature that are dealing with that place. The modes have created that place and it creates all these things. So we're saying, no, I'm independent, I do this. No, it's just, it's the modes. Does that make sense? You know, so that's the whole thing, is that, you know, the persons in America, they maintain their British accent, but a light one, just enough to tell it is British and some of their terms and stuff like that, but they use those at home. But when you visit them at their home, the kids are sitting down and eating a bowl of Cheerios. You know what I'm saying? So it's just, they keep a little flavor just as, you know, just a... You know what I'm saying? Just something, just a uniqueness there. But they can't do function fully. You know what I'm saying? That means, are they going to be able to get their, what is it, Devonshire double cream? You know? No, it's not happening. So, therefore, you know, what are you going to put on your crumpets? Yeah? You know? So, that's the thing, is the modes created. So, saying that, no, it's up to us, we create it. No, God's created it. God's created it. So it's part of the nature of how things work, the variety of species. I'm saying, how they think, how they do, how they function. And so therefore, then it's not up to us to make it up. So that's why... Then there are generic rules, and then that has to be applied specifically to the individual. That's why the rules are so broad and why they have so many details, so that it can be applied to the particular individual. Does that make sense? Yeah. So preaching means you have to give them the actual real knowledge. And then having given that real knowledge, then you have to give them real practices. Does that make sense? So that's what you're doing. So there's a recommendation, and we fit into there how we fit. Right. Does that make sense? Yes?
Srila Prabhupada, he defines preacher as a Madhyam Bhakta.
Yes.
And it's quite elevated position, because then it's expected that the person understands what primary, what secondary.
Yes.
Well, my question is, what is actual training for madhyamas? Because we see many of those who preach, they do more damage than the good thing. You know, people misguide
it. It's by association. See, the whole process is all by association. See, is that if one, in the association of devotees, in this environment of pure knowledge, then in the platform of bhava, it nourishes that bhava, that attachment, that rati, or attachment to Krishna. Below that, in sadhana, it accomplishes anartha nivriti.
Yeah.
So, therefore, that's why there's so much emphasis on Vaishnava association, how to associate. Therefore, dadati prati grinati guhyamakati prichati bunkte bojayate. So, those then have their form that they're followed in connection with Krishna according to the values given by the acharyas. So if we follow that, then we'll see, and our purpose is pure devotion, then we'll see that association will accomplish anartha nivriti, therefore the quality of our preaching will always improve. But if we're not following that Vaishnava association, then how will it accomplish anartha nivriti? You know, what can you eat? You know, oh, that's so fat. Oh, that's so this. Oh, this is Indian. You know, we're not Indians. We can't eat this food, right? If it's Lebanese, I'd eat it. But hey, but it's Indian, I won't eat it. You know? And so these kind of things like that, or, you know, oh, it has sugar in it. Why are you eating that? Oh, you know, it's dairy. You know, what am I, you know, it's vegan. It's like, where's the taking a prashad together? Right? You know, the serving, the sitting, the talking, but instead, you know, the only talking we get to do is when we're standing in line at the buffet. And even then, because it's not by choice. See, it's by choice, we sit down with who we want, and then it's so, in the line, it's just who we're there. We don't want to, we can't jump ahead 10 people to be with someone we want. Everyone will yell and scream, and we'd be an idiot if we move back 10 people to, you know, like that. So, where is the bunkte bojayate? You know, because we're not giving. It's that the bhakta's there, and who doesn't come, he just puts it on their plate. But it's not like it's personally interacting. So you don't have the serving and eating and associating. You know what I'm saying? And confidentiality, then in the name of atheistic, you know, moralistic truth, then everybody's got to know everything because I have a send button, you know? I'm the supreme because I can push send, you know, like that. And so then the problem comes is, where's confidentiality? Because if there's confidentiality, all I will categorize it is that is cover up. That is you know, keeping things confidential. It's a, you know, some kind of club or some exclusivity, or, you know, no, everybody has the right to know. So therefore, there can be no confidentiality in reality, because it's just not socially accepted. And then gifts, giving gifts, then who does it belong to? You know, then that's the whole thing. You know, any money, it should all come to the temple president, because it all belongs to that temple. Like that. So if anybody gets anything, it has to go to the temple. These are, you know, managerial discussions, because temples can't make money, so they have to try to get it from somewhere. So anybody getting money, then automatically it's theirs. You know, it's just like any bad government. They just tax where they're not supposed to. Like that. Does that make sense? So, therefore, you can't even properly give gifts, or this or that, or people don't even know that you should give gifts. Oh, if I give something, then that's materialistic. You know, like that. And why would I be materialistic? Or that's charity. Or if I give them something, then they'll become puffed up, so they'll fall down. So I'm doing the preacher a favor by not giving him anything.
Keep him humble.
Yeah, keep them humble. I've actually, you know, we've actually heard people say this. They really think it's a real philosophy.
They wanted to give a lot?
Huh?
They were thinking about giving a lot?
No. It's just their way of keeping all their money themselves, so that, you know, and of course they won't become puffed up because, you know, they're so great. But hey, you know that then, you know. So where's the association?
Yeah, this is my question, because it's all negative side, but where's the association?
Those who understand what Prabhupada and the Acharyas are giving. So they have association.
But what about us?
You have to find those people.
They're hiding.
They're, how you say? They're hiding in their...
plain sight.
They're hiding in plain sight.
In where?
In plain sight. You know? So they're there. So you see those individuals who, you know, live what and practice what's here, that's who we, so that's why it says you should associate with those who are more advanced. So generally you'll see when you mention that there are those who preach and creating more trouble, there's a good chance if you check they don't associate with someone who's more advanced. They'll consider themselves the most advanced, so they don't need that association. They'll only give association.
Yeah.
So it's actually, they're just not following the process. So you just avoid that association and situations and find those ones what they are and then use that. Because it doesn't take many. Like we see Narottam Das Thakur in his song, you know, that Ramachandra Kahe.
Sangamage
Narottama Das. Right? So... he wants that association of Ramachandra, huh? You know? That's what he's looking for. So it's just that... so you don't see that there's many. It doesn't take. Even if there's one person, that's enough. If you can get Prabhupada's created a society, so there's so many, that makes it even easier. You know, so even if you can't be there by, you know, physically be there, you know, the vapu, and take advantage of the association, you can take advantage by vani. Therefore, we can take advantage of the association of Narad Muni and Sukadeva Goswami, Suta Goswami, you know, Shonaka Rishi, Rishabh Dev, Prahlad Maharaj, you know, all these great personalities, the Braj Basis, by hearing and chanting and remembering what they do, and then trying to apply that in our life, and then finding those who we're inspired, who help us be inspired in that process. You know, that's the meaning. Let us be inspired in that. You know, with that, we say that. One, two, three, four. We say that 40 times a day. Right? So, yeah. So the last part is prachodayat means let us be inspired in that, right? So that aspect of trying to be taking advantage of the vani of the Vaishnavas, that's what we want. Right? Vapu, if we can get that, that's nice. The Prabhupada mentions sometimes you can appreciate it, sometimes you can't. But vani we can always appreciate. So that's what we try for. Does that make sense? Yeah, so just a few individuals here and there. And, you know, and the Bhagavatam, Chaitanya Charitamrita, Bhagavad Gita, like this, and then, well, you know, we're good. And, you know, you stick with that when you get to the spiritual world, then there's plenty. There's no problem for association.
Yeah, I'm just thinking that, as you mentioned previously, that this relationship opportunity to develop relationship with Krishna and his devotees, it can happen at any stage, actually.
At any stage.
But at least on the level of Bhav, it should happen.
Yes, it should happen. If it doesn't, you'll get stuck in that platform of Bhav for many lifetimes. But if you actually take it up seriously, then that's what makes it dynamic. That's what we'll see when we get to whichever chapter it is, I think it's 29 or whenever it is, when Krishna plays the flute, the gopis go. In that, this point is explained, that those who take it seriously, that aspect, the Krishna conscious development, they get the association of the eternal associates. In that mood, they develop that complete attachment like they have, because the rati means attachment. But so bhava means that attachment's the prominence, but it has to be that's the totality. So when that attachment to Krishna is complete, then one is able to take part dynamically in the Lord's pastimes. So that comes from that association. But if one doesn't take that seriously, one only gets into the secondary aspects of devotional service, one can be stuck in Gokul Braj for many lifetimes. Generally, we don't see it happening.
Catching a snake, Maharaj.
Oh. Okay.
Be gone.
yeah. So we get distracted by the secondary aspects. Right? Because everybody has a house, everyone has families, everybody's doing their duties, because you have to situate yourself in the Braj society. Right? Because from there, then you can have a relationship. Otherwise, how do you ask somebody, oh, where they're from, and who are your parents, and, you know, what do they do, unless you have one? You know? Really hard. One Braj Basi to another, oh, where are you from? Well, I don't know, just I'm here. You know, what do you do? Well, nothing like that. And, okay. And, you know what I'm saying? How far is that conversation going to get? Like that. And then everybody's like that? You know, that's some, like, kind of... it's kind of like some kind of sci-fi dystopia or something. You know? Everybody's there just in this kind of Brahman state. You know? So... So you have that, but then they get distracted by that and are absorbed in doing all those duties and activities within that environment. So then they don't progress. Does that make sense? So Krishna creates opportunities for them to progress. That's why all that, the pastimes of the demons, because then that all reminds you of Krishna, because Krishna is important, otherwise why are you on that platform of bhava? But we get distracted by the secondary, because that's what we've been doing since time immemorial. Right? So then, the karma and jnana are gone, but the fragrance is there. And so then we get distracted by those things. And so then being distracted, then those things go on until some calamity comes up, and that reminds us of Krishna. Then that absorption in Krishna, then depending upon how intense, it burns off, so, you know, like that. So then by the time all the different demons and those pastimes go through, then one should be at the pure state if one hasn't already come to that. Like that. So it's designed to bring you to prema. But if you really want, you can stay there for many lifetimes. Does that make sense? Yeah. So association is the main thing. So that's what we're saying. On that pure platform, then it nourishes that devotion to Krishna. And in the platform of sadhana, it will get rid of the anartas that get in the way of that. Does that make sense? So that will allow the natural attraction to Krishna to, you know, be appreciated. Does that make sense? Yeah.
Is our fallacy sometimes that we're looking for this utopian ideal, and actually what we should be focusing on is our own Krishna consciousness?
That's there. If we're thinking that until the utopian ideal is there, I can't progress, then it makes we're the center of everything. So that means all the kriya and all the jnana is about us. So then it will be a problem. So if there's some sincerity, it may start off, there'll be problems, but we'll get purified by those problems and move forward, so we're not the center of that. But if ourselves being the center of that is more a thing, then we'll just see it as an excuse to go away, because in Krishna consciousness, you can't really be the center of attention. Right? And if you really want to be the center of attention, you actually have to go outside of the, you know, prominent association of the devotees to be able to maintain that. Right? But the point is, since you want to be the center, you can't be the center and be an idiot, so therefore you have an excuse why, because it wasn't perfect, you know, they're not perfect. They're talking all this nice philosophy, but, you know, this one this and that one that. And does that make sense? So the point is, Maya gives you an excuse. Is that?
How we can emphasize the bhakti?
How can we emphasize the bhakti? By that focus, by that desire. Do we want devotion? It's not a technique, it's a matter of a desire. You know what I'm saying? We're hungry, then we use technique of cooking. We're not hungry, we don't cook. Does that make sense? So, we see that this bhakti is something important, and we see the advantages of it and the greatness of it. We desire that, then we'll start to act in a way that brings us to that, because recommendations are there, so we'll start to follow those. Does that make sense? So it comes from desire. So it's not a technique. Techniques are for expressing. By having it yourself.
But?
By having it yourself. In other words, if you want everyone to be nice, you be nice. Does that make sense? So that's the thing. If you're not nice, then why anybody else should be nice? And you can say, well, I've been nice, why aren't they nice? Then don't worry about them. You worry about yourself. at least you're doing what you feel important. Right? Because why are we being nice? If we're being nice because we want to be dealt with nicely, then of course, by the law of karma, then if people aren't reciprocating in a nice way, why should I continue being nice? But if it's a matter of all the living entities belong to Krishna, and therefore I have to deal with them to please Krishna, so therefore I'm nice, then whether they deal nice or not, it doesn't matter. You understand? So that's the... But Haridas Thakur, he was nice. Everyone around him wasn't that nice. You know, Jarabharat, he was nice. Not necessarily anybody around him was nice. You understand? That's the point. Prahlad Maharaj was nice. Definitely his association was not nice. So,
regarding the point, I'm thinking that Madhyam will be nice people.
Because the fans are off doesn't mean that now we talk quieter.
Maharaj,
Prabhu
was saying to you that Madhyam, who is misguiding, wouldn't be categorized as a Madhyam. He would be categorized as Kanishtha, who is trying to act on the platform of Madhyam.
Right? That's there, means... The position that we take, the Gaudiya Vaishnava position, is that of a... The activities are that of a Madhyama. But our identity to others will be that of a Kanista. So we will deal with others as if we're a Kanista, but the method of dealing is that of a Madhyama. Right? So that's the central position. So the Uttamas act as Madhyamas, the Kanistas act as Madhyamas. So that's why it's the preaching mission. It's a Madhyama movement. Then whatever our realization in doing that, that's what we do. Does that make sense?
Also, Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he was saying that it's a necessary, it's an inherent quality of a Madhyam devotee, of a preacher, to make friends with devotees.
Yes, he'll make friends. See, is your friendship in the spiritual world, the inherent relationship with all living entities is friendship, right? Krishna, then there's a specific rasa, but with all other devotees, it's friendship. It may be senior friendship, equal, junior, or confidential, but it's still friendship is the quality. That's that. Then when it comes into the material world, this friendship then is friendship with the devotees, right? There's compassion to the innocent or the juniors, and there's indifference to those who are not interested in Krishna consciousness. So it has three manifestations.
I heard that we're recommended to associate with those who are more advanced. At the same time, our intelligence develops when we associate with equals, and we will be able to maintain our position if we take up responsibility of the juniors.
Means this can help, but the point is it's by association that you maintain. It's by association you cultivate and nourish. So all these things are there. It's not that by associating with advanced devotees we don't nourish and maintain Krishna consciousness, only if we deal with the younger set. The point is what we've heard from them, that's what we're going to give to others. So we learn more. So it's like it's said that if you teach, then you retain 90% of the study material. Well, if you only hear, you only retain 30%. You know what I'm saying? You hear and write. I mean, no, hear. What is it? Oof, can't remember. It's been a while. It's 30, I think 50 and 70. Like that. So you get more when you hear, you write, you study like this, you're getting more from it. But if you teach it, you get the most. So therefore you can say is that aspect you learn the most by teaching what you've heard. But it's not that you're not advancing and developing while you're in the association of those who are more advanced than you. You understand? Yeah.
The listing of the we rise by lifting others and like all of this.
Sorry?
We rise by lifting others and also like...
There is all these nice things you can say, but the point is it's the process of bhakti. Bhakti is not dependent upon karma or jnana. Bhakti is independent. That's the point. Bhakti is bhakti without karma and jnana. Karma and jnana don't function without bhakti. Right? But why do we rise? Because we elevate others. Why? Because of Krishna. But is that the point that's being made? Or is it because, no, that's the good thing, that's the nice thing. Well, then you can say we're a dynamic part of the social fabric. So that's atheistic. Where's Krishna? So it's because it's Krishna's mission. That's why when you do that, Lord Chaitanya becomes pleased. Him being pleased, then our understanding, the knowledge, the detachment, our advancement in Krishna consciousness happens. A realization of Krishna, he reveals. Because you're doing what is recommended. Right? It's not because it's a modern platitude, so therefore, what is it? What is it? What's that famous one? There's no I in this word?
Team.
Yeah, there's no I in team. And so we can use these things, but it's not that that makes the bhakti.
It's only me.
Yes, that's not, yeah, because before it's not I, it's me. Yeah, me is considered kind of a lower stand. I is considered more, how you say, literal.
Sophisticated.
Yeah, more sophisticated.
Depends what you emphasize.
Okay. I'll have to bring that up next time. See what the look on their face is. Should be fun. You understand? So all these different things, you point your finger, there's three fingers pointing back at you, but they don't catch it. There's two fingers pointing there. But these ones are bigger than those ones. This is only a little one, so if you add them all up, then who's got the most and things like that. And it does say Paramatma is the size of the thumb. It doesn't say it's the size of any of the other fingers, so that should carry more weight. And, you know, so you could go on and on with all these things. So that's why using these, they're nice. They catch attention. You pay attention. You can relate to it. But that's not the point. That phrase is not the point. There's an intent that's trying to be gained from that use of that phrase. Does that make sense? You know, the example is not the point. The example is to illustrate the point. So you can't get too distracted by the examples. Right? Does that make sense? Yeah.
Buzzwords.
Yes, you can't get too caught up in the granulating and snowballing. Right? Yes. Otherwise, you'll get distracted. In other words, you're supposed to make money. You know. In other words, if granulating makes money, we do it. If it doesn't, we don't do it. Right. So that's the whole point, is that if it increases bhakti, we do it. But if it doesn't, it's about the thing itself. You know. Like that. Yeah. Okay.
Continuation of
the footnote. Oh, okay, going on the foot. Only by bhakti can a person know me as Brahman. Then, knowing me as Brahman, by that bhakti he merges with me. Right? So then this merging with him, what does that mean? Then becomes that is the oneness in purpose. You know, that's given. So that's the meaning of the Vishuddha-dvait. It's that merging with the Lord in that particular mood, the attitude, the interaction, the whole that kind of aspect. So that's then what you're trying to come to, is that the attitude in which the Lord functions, we merge with that. So then there's community. Right? Yeah. But we may be approaching it through jnana. Yeah. According to the Lord's statement, by knowledge arising from bhakti, one realizes Brahman or Tat, then merges in Brahman. Another verse also says that the person desiring realization of Brahman should perform pure bhakti. Because you can't get this merging in Brahman without bhakti. So since you're going to do bhakti, why not do pure bhakti? And then having merged in Brahman, you'll continue on that and develop your relationship with the Lord. You know, it's just like we're saying. One is performing one's karma, and one's going to be working very hard, right? You have that, you know, the phrase pavarga. You know, so one's foaming at the mouth, trying to, you know, develop one's material facilities. So since you're doing that, why not do that in connection and consideration of the Lord? Then you'll get the eternal benefit. Right? Not that your money will last eternally, but the benefit of having done that for Krishna, that will last eternally. Right? Money's still going to be temporary. Right? You know, unless, of course, your wife's an investment banker or something, but then that's a different thing. But, you know. Okay. Everything that can be achieved by fruit of activities, penance, knowledge, detachment, mystic yoga, charity, religious duties, and all other means of perfecting life is easily achieved by my devotee through loving service unto me. Right? So, what are the fruit of activity? Someone's performing that religious activity for the result that they get from that. They're performing penance from the result they get. Knowledge, detachment, mystic yoga, charity, all those things from what they will gain from it. Right? Does that make sense? That's what they want. But the point is if you do devotional service, which means doing all those different things for Krishna, as mediums to express the devotion to Krishna, then the devotion is what's experienced, but these side things, they come anyway. That's what it says. These other things, karma and jnana, only work because of bhakti. That's why they're side things of bhakti. They're side effects of bhakti. Right? Because bhakti, its main thing is giving, is that devotion, that attachment to Krishna, or prema. Right? But the karma and jnana, they give specific results. They give facilities and liberation. But it doesn't work without bhakti. So it's a side effect of bhakti. Does that make sense? So, therefore, why perform the activity for its effect? Why not just perform the bhakti? That effect naturally comes because the activity, now being connected with bhakti, will give that result. Otherwise, it won't. Right? Does that make sense?
Then, if we perform bhakti with the desire to get the result, that we call bhakti misra karma.
Yes, you could say. You could say like that, and if it's a battle, we're trying to engage these religious activities in the Lord's service, then that would be karma misra bhakti.
In the same logic that we explained the previous one.
Yes, it's just a matter of, are we doing it to get the thing, or are we doing it to please Krishna?
Usually it's both.
Yes, so the both. So the immediate it may be, you know, how you say bhakti misra karma. In the long run, it's karma misra bhakti.
Pure bhakti somewhere?
Yeah, no, but I'm just saying, if you're looking at the long term, because it's about pure bhakti, we would call it karma misra bhakti. So it's just a matter of where the consciousness is.
And what I also saw many times, what happens to devotees, they differentiate between the two. They do bhakti for the sake of bhakti, which is good. They don't even think about the results. And then they do karma for the sake of karma. And they don't mix the two. And bhakti is the minority of time usually in the day.
Yeah. So, yes. Then it's like, I have the rice on the plate. I have the dal in a cup. I have the sabji on the plate. And I have a spoon. So I take the spoon, put it in the rice, put that in my mouth, you know, pick up some dal, drink that, take some sabji on my spoon, put that in my mouth, you know. You understand? So that's what they're getting. If they would mix it together, it would work much better. And I don't mean taking the chapati. putting it in your left hand, taking your spoon, must use the spoon, put that on the rice in the chapati, then roll it up, and then eat it with both hands or one hand as you prefer. We're not talking about that mix. Yes.
It's an interesting point that Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur, he comments on the ninth chapter of Bhagavad Gita, you know, that famous verse, Patram Pushpam Palam Pagam, and then he says it's actually, it's a completely new idea that Krishna gives to Arjuna, because previously what's offerable in the Vedic society, that's what's offered. But then he says, you offer everything. And that what we practice actually.
Yes. Well, that's the confidential aspect of bhakti. So that's why it's in ninth chapter.
Yeah.
Because that confidentiality. So to be able to offer everything to Krishna is the same way as you see that devotional activity and you see the connection of the souls with Krishna, and therefore any anomalies that are there, that's just the effect of the modes. So you're not affected by that, like, you know, the verse that you mentioned yesterday.
Yeah.
You know, so that's the confidential point, is that bhakti is the real thing. Seeing everything connected to Krishna, connecting everything. But it's about Krishna, it's the favorableness to Krishna. Right? Because otherwise we'll say, see, it doesn't matter about that, so I just do whatever I want and connect that. Yes, you can do that, but is the purpose of your connecting that to Krishna about Krishna or yourself? I want to connect my activities that I prefer to Krishna because that's what I prefer to do, but I accommodate Krishna. I'm willing to be involved in devotion. So that won't be as advanced a position as I want to serve Krishna and just please Krishna, and the only thing I have available is, you know, my, what do you call it? My microwave frozen pizza. Right? The other is, I prefer that. That's why I'm offering to Krishna. The other one is, I want to offer to Krishna like that, and that's all I have. So that's what you offer. There's a very great difference, because if you had something else, you would happily offer that. But the other one, even you had the opportunity to offer something else, no, you're still going to offer that because it's about ourselves. But connected to Krishna, we're purified. We will progress. That's why it says it can take many lifetimes of this understanding to come to the point of pure devotion. Simply, it's a matter of how much do we hold on to this attachment. If we hold on more, it takes longer. We hold on less, it goes quicker. And that comes by association. So we take up good association, then it goes quicker.
You keep on using this as an example that that's all we have, so that's what we're going to offer. But why would that be all you have in the first place?
Because that's where you're at. Then you notice that. But now, your next time you go out, you can get something else.
Oh, okay.
You can get the frozen mashed potatoes. You know, expand.
Pizza's better than mashed potatoes.
That's another thing. It's just an example.
More like items, you know. Like,
that's the whole point. So you're considering an expansion of the items, you know. You know, I'm saying it's Krishna. You'd be happy with two pizzas, you know, but, you know, because it's Krishna, you want more variety, since, you know, like that. So we get one pizza and one mashed potatoes.
But, you know, the mashed potato is going to be dead. It's not going to be frozen. You know, the dried powder.
Oh, okay. Then that works also. But still, you got to put it in the microwave to heat it up.
Yeah.
So it works. You understand? So, in other words, what we're saying is, what my nature is, I take that and I use that. Because that's what I have. Right? I only have the body I have. Like that. And despite all the internet ads and all the different things out there and the supplements and the monstrous protein powder things and that, I still end up remaining the same. Like that. You know, I don't actually get that much further, right? You know, so that's going to be there. That body's there. My mind, I have that mind. I have this intelligence. That's what I have to work with. So therefore, now using that to please Krishna, that's what I do, rather than using that to please myself. Because since time immemorial, I'm using it to please myself.
Yeah. I still can't grasp the concept of that if you come to devotional service and you make the decision, I'm going to be a devotee, then of course you're going to, it's going to be for Krishna, and you're going to use your nature rather than, I don't understand the other way around. I can't understand that.
Then how you say, may you be blessed that you never understand the other way around.
You know, but so how can you be a devotee? Like, obviously, if you're a devotee, then you...
No, that's the question.
I don't get it.
Means that's good.
Okay.
Like that. Okay, and you had...
Sometimes, for example, we know Christian likes sabji, das, all these nice preparation, and some, when we invite devotees, we like to please the devotees who are, but they like some other stuff.
But is it about the stuff, or it's about the quality of cooking?
For me or for me?
For anybody.
Well, for me, it's to please the. Them.
What if I put them. The What if I put the pizza in the microwave oven for only 10 seconds? Hmm. You understand?
I never use microwaves.
Okay. Yeah. Well, whatever it is. The point is that that's also good. So, doing some positive things today. Right? Okay. You know. So the point is that any preparation cooked nice is good. Any preparation not cooked nice is not good. So it's a matter of the quality of the cooking. So much of the time you go to somebody's place, they cook what they can cook nicely. That's the best thing. But it's not that the concept that if we have the opportunity that we wouldn't like to learn how Krishna cooks. Because if you can cook what Krishna cooks, guaranteed you can cook anything else better. In other words, if you can cook first-class Indian cooking, you can make a better pizza than most, you know, 99.9 Italians. I mean, that's guaranteed, right? Because we're thinking, but they're Italian. That's like saying all Americans know how to make a great sandwich, you know, like that, or know how to make a pancake or something like that. No, it's just some people know how and most people don't. If everybody knew how to cook great, do you think that all this ready-made food and all that would be so big? Because anybody who knows how to cook, that stuff's garbage. But if you can't cook, that's good. Because if you cook, it's worse. You know what I'm saying? You understand? So, therefore, you're trying to make whatever you can cook nice to please the Vaishnavas. And if you know they not like certain things, then that's fine. Rupa Goswami says, regional delicacies, then those are things that are offerable to Krishna. But it's because of that that it becomes good. And we're trying to serve the Vaishnavas. You put that all together. If that means that, yeah, you cook like that. What's the big problem? You know what I'm saying? But the point is if you have that, why not know that? Because Krishna, why not know that? If cooking is not your thing, don't worry about that. Then something else. You know, it's just like Krishna. We dress Krishna. How do we dress Krishna? Right? Do we ever see him in 501 jeans? No. Okay. Yeah. You understand? So that's the whole point, is that it's not what he likes. We do what he likes. So at least in the temple and in the things, we should understand what is there. Those programs we do like that, people get an experience of that. Oh, saying, oh no, but people don't like that. What kind of people don't like that? What kind of narrow-minded, culturally dysfunctional people can't handle now and again eating Indian food, especially if it's cooked nicely?
I think just for variety. Huh? It's not that I don't like, but maybe for variety.
No, but I'm saying is, if we're talking about people don't like it, it's they can't accommodate it. And as I mentioned, all the people that will say they don't like Indian food, we can't eat Indian food, or Westerners, guaranteed, they will eat Chinese, they will eat Japanese, they will eat Thai, they'll eat Malaysian, they'll eat Middle East, Lebanese, they'll eat Italian. right? They'll eat French. They'll eat some preparations from England. They'll eat, you know, whatever they're used to from America. They'll eat a few things from south of the border, you know, specialty. In other words, they'll eat specialty items from anywhere else in the world but India. And then you're going to tell me that this is the international view? Because if they're saying India is just a country, then international means it's also on the list of countries, so we should be eating that also. But the point is they can't eat it, they can't cook it. Why not? You know? I remember meeting this one devotee, he's an expert in Philadelphia, he's an expert in sushi. Like that, could do all, he made far out stuff like that. Right? So, but he's a good cook in other things. So it's just, he thought that was interesting. He got into that. You know, I've met devotees who are expert in like mocktails, or someone else in salads, someone else in soups. But the point is they can cook everything else. So what we're talking about is those who don't even make the endeavor. Why wouldn't you want to know that? Mother Jashoda is cooking that. You want to be in her house and her kitchen, then got to get used to that. Right? And even if you tried to cook a pizza in a tandoor, the problem is all the stuff would fall off since it's put in sideways. You know? So you'd have to do it Indian, right? You'd have to do, what do you call it? You'd have to make paneer tikka, right, that, and then do then put them on top. You know, then it's just the way you'd have to do it anyway. Okay. Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Jai Srila Prabhupada ki, Jai Samaveta Bhaktivinoda ki, Jai Nitai Gaura Prabhupada ki.